Certainly good to be with you this evening. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to the book of 1 John. We're in 1 John chapter 2. As you know, we have been looking at a series of lessons on Sunday morning and Sunday evening from the book of 1 John. I want to encourage you to be reading the book of 1 John. It's such an encouraging book that will encourage you to be stronger in the Lord. As we think about the privilege of being able to assemble tonight, to be able to worship God, to be able to approach Him in prayer, denotes the fellowship that we have with our God. And fellowship with God is a wonderful thing. In fact, as we started our study in the book of 1 John chapter 1, we highlighted that point. It's the fellowship that we have with our God that makes the Christian life so full of joy. And we can stand here tonight and approach our God, and we can do so with cheerful hearts, joyful hearts, because of the relationship that we have with our God, with the Father and with Jesus Christ. And we know that God has made this possible for us to approach Him, for us to draw near to Him. And so as we think about Christianity, we should be striving to draw nearer to our God, maintaining that fellowship that we have with God. One of the reasons why I like this book so much has to do with its practicality. Because as you go through the book of 1 John, it really builds assurance and confidence. As time goes on, we are waiting for the Lord's return. And the Apostle John will even speak about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he'll make two points from this great epistle. As we are in the flesh waiting for the return of Christ, we can approach that day with confidence and also with boldness. We will see that in our study of 1 John chapter 2 with confidence, and then as we continue our study with boldness when we get into 1 John chapter 4. And I want us to really be thinking about that as we go through this series of studies, because we need to live with that assurance that heaven will be our home. And so as we think about our study tonight, we are continuing to look at those tests of fellowship. As you go through the book of 1 John, we've been noting those tests of fellowship. If we have fellowship with God, we can see from chapter 1, we'll be walking in the light. We will confess our sins. As we get into chapter 2, we're not going to live a lifestyle of sin. We're going to keep God's Word, and we understand that if we do sin, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. And not only is He our advocate, He is the propitiation for our sins. We see that His sacrifice was a substitutionary sacrifice. His sacrifice was a perfect sacrifice. And because of that sacrifice, we can have cleansing. We can have the forgiveness of sins. In Hebrews 9 verse 22, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. There's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. We have peace with God, according to Colossians 1 verse 20, through the blood of Jesus Christ. That is part of God's plan of redemption. We learn in 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19 that we haven't been redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold received by the tradition of your fathers, but we've been redeemed by the blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Notice that language. A lamb. Jesus was our sacrificial lamb. Behold the Lamb of God, John 1, verse 29, that takes away the sins of this world. And so if we are walking in the light, if we stumble, if we sin, we have Jesus Christ who is the propitiation of our sins. We've also noticed from 1 John chapter 2 verse 6 that if we are walking in the light, we're going to follow the example of Jesus Christ. He that says he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, to live as he walked, as he lived. We strive to follow Jesus Christ, the one who lived in the way, the one who did those things that were pleasing to the Father, John 8, verse number 29. And then this morning from 1 John chapter 2, we notice from verses 7 through 11 that if we are going to maintain that fellowship with God, we're going to love one another. And we're going to do so with a pure heart fervently. The Apostle John says that if we say that we love our brother, but we don't seek our brother's best interest, we're not in the light. We're in darkness. Just because you say you love one another isn't enough. We must demonstrate that love, as we notice from 1 John 3, verse 17 and 18. We must put that love into action. We do so by helping one another physically and spiritually. And we do so by protecting that unity of the Spirit. As we said, if we're going to be right with God, we have to be right with one another. If we're not right with one another, that fellowship can be hindered. We can disrupt that fellowship that we have with God if we're at odds, if we're at enmity with one another. And so as we notice from Matthew chapter 5, if you have aught against your brother, you leave your gift at the altar, and you go and first be reconciled with your brother, with your sister, and then you come and you alter that. Then you come and offer your gift before God. Again, all of these things assure us that we have fellowship with God. Now beginning at verse number 12, the Apostle John will lay out another test. Test of fellowship. All you have to do is continue to study and read this book, and it builds that confidence that we have fellowship with God. If you have fellowship with God, this is what it's going to look like in real life. And so what is John going to talk about beginning at verse number 12, going all the way down to verse number 17? Well, let's begin reading these points, and then we'll lay out the next test of fellowship. Beginning at 1 John chapter 2, we'll pick up in verse number 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I've written unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Well, what is the Apostle John talking about in these verses? What is this test of fellowship that we see in verses 12 through 17? It has to do with spiritual growth. Fellowship depends upon our spiritual growth. I want you to look closely at the verses that we just read, because we see three categories of spiritual development or of spiritual growth. As you go through this text, you'll notice from the text that the Apostle John mentions little children. You'll notice that he mentions fathers. And then he mentions young men. Notice that. Little children, fathers, and young men. And as you go back and you work through this section concerning little children, your sins are forgiven you. Remember what we said at the very beginning in one of our first lessons. Where there's forgiveness, there's fellowship. All you have to do is remember the F's, right? If there's forgiveness, you've been forgiven, therefore you have fellowship. And so the Apostle John, right here in chapter 2, reminds them once again of that fellowship that they have with God. Your sins are forgiven. And then in verse number 13 and 14, he says, you know Him. Again, fellowship, intimacy. You have a relationship with God. And then he continues on in verse number 13. He says, you have overcome the wicked one. And then he'll go in to say, saying, you are strong. And I love this verse. You are strong. And the Word of God is abiding in you. Again, all of this is talking about that fellowship that we have with God. But fellowship depends upon spiritual growth. Little children, those who obey the gospel. We refer to these individuals many times as new converts, babes in Christ. And we understand that in regards to spiritual growth, in regards to eternal life. You take somebody that has just obeyed the gospel. They're a babe in Christ. And you compare that individual who's been in the faith 20 or 30 years. That individual who's been in the faith for some amount of time is going to be a lot stronger spiritually speaking. I believe that's exactly the terminology that we see here in these verses. Little children. Fathers, young men. Young men, those who have grown in the faith. Those who are strong. The Word of God is abiding in them. And then again, we have that idea of fathers. Those who are mature in the faith. Many times we lean upon those who are mature in the faith. We lean on them for their wisdom. For their counsel, they understand what life is all about. They have much to offer in regarding to how to overcome the evil one. In regards to how to live life and to overcome the trials of this life. And many times we seek their counsel. And so we see these different categories of spiritual growth. But you can see that we all have the responsibility to grow. If we're a babe in Christ, if we are young men in the faith, or maybe we're that older person that's mature in the faith, wherever we're at spiritually speaking, we should never stop growing. Fellowship depends upon spiritual growth. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 15 and following, Paul warns about being children being tossed back and forth, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Don't be little children, but as newborn babes, 1 Peter 2, verse number 2, desire the sincere milk of God's Word that ye may grow thereby. In Hebrews chapter 5, beginning at verse number 11, going down through verse number 14, the writer was addressing Christians who were immature in the faith. They had been Christians for some time, but they stopped growing. And the writer of Hebrews is going to address that when he says, "For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have milk and not strong meat." And then he explains, those who are on the milk of God's Word are unskillful in the Word of righteousness, But he that is on the meat of God's Word has his senses exercised to discern between good and evil. Notice that. You have the milk and you have the meat of God's Word. You see, if we're going to grow spiritually speaking, we have to get off the milk of God's Word, the elementary principles of the doctrine of Christ, and we need some meat if we're going to develop spiritually speaking. And the Word of God is what provides that meat. Oh, there's a time for milk in that process, in that development of spiritual growth. But there comes a time when you need to be on the meat of God's Word. Remember, the Word of God is our spiritual food. And it's God's Word that is our spiritual food that nourishes us spiritually speaking. If we're going to grow, we must be feasting. We must be abiding in the Word of God. That's the emphasis. The Apostle John says, you are strong and the Word of God is abiding in you. You won't be strong spiritually speaking if the Word of God isn't abiding in you. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10, Paul says, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Well, what is that Christian armor that we are to put on? You remember Paul speaks about that breastplate of righteousness. He talks about girding our loins with the Word of truth, having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of Christ. Each piece of armor relates to the Word of God. And so you see from Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 18, the importance of the Word of God being in you. Let me ask you a question tonight. Do you love the Word of God? Is the Word of God abiding in you? Do you have a spiritual appetite for the Word of God? Do you find yourself feasting upon the Word of God, meditating upon it day and night? Psalm 1, verse 1. Like the psalmist in Psalm 119, oh, how I love Thy law. It is my meditation all the day long. You see, if you love the Word of God, you'll be like Job, who loved God's Word more than his necessary food. Job 23, verse number 12. We will be feasting upon the Word of God. The Word of God will be abiding in us. And when the Word of God is abiding in us, we're going to develop spiritually speaking. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says to young Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4. I believe this context here of 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse number 12, really illustrates what we're talking about from 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, Paul says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Continue in them, Paul says. For in doing this, verse 16, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. He mentions doctrine in verse number 13. He mentions doctrine in verse number 16. But look at verse number 15. Listen to what Paul says, and this is the verse that I'm wanting to highlight. Meditate upon these things, the things that he just revealed. Give thyself wholly to them, completely. Be devoted to what I'm telling you, Timothy, listen to it, that thy profiting may appear to all. What is Paul talking about? Thy profiting may appear to all. Paul's talking about Timothy's spiritual development. He's talking about Timothy's spiritual growth. And so again, when we go back to the book of 1 John, where John again is laying out tests of fellowship. How do I know that I'm in fellowship with God? How do I know that I have a strong and healthy relationship with God? You'll be growing spiritually speaking. How am I going to grow spiritually speaking? I'm going to study the Word of God. I'm going to learn the Word of God. I'm going to love it. As Jesus would say in Matthew 5, verse 6, blessed is he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness. But be honest with yourself. Remember, that's the key to being the spiritual person that God wants us to be. We have to be honest with ourselves. Do we have that spiritual appetite? Again, do you meditate upon the Word of God? Do you take time out of your schedule to study God's Word on a daily basis? If we're not in the Word spirit, if we're not in the Word on a daily basis, we're going to starve ourselves spiritually speaking. Remember, faith comes by hearing it, hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, verse 17. Remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, we are to walk by faith and not by sight. Do you see why it's so important to be in the Word of God? Learning the Word of God? Having the Word of God abiding in us, because it makes us strong spiritually speaking. And when we're strong spiritually speaking, when the Word of God is abiding in us, we can overcome, listen to the terminology, we can overcome the wicked one. Oh, the wicked one, he desires to have you. That's what Jesus told Peter in Luke 22, verse number 31. And that's what Peter would reveal later to Christians in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, when he says, be watchful, be sober, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, is walking about seeking whom he may devour. You know what he says in verse number 9? Oh, I'm confident everybody in here probably really knows verse number 8, because verse number 8 is a powerful, powerful verse. It reminds us of our adversary. But don't stop at verse number 8. Because in verse number 9, Peter will go on to say, whom resist. We noticed that language in our study this morning in James chapter 4. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. James 4, verse 7 and 8. And so again, resist, Peter says. How do we resist the devil who's walking around as a roaring lion, seeking whom we may devour? Whom resist. Notice how. Steadfast in the faith. Well, what does that mean, steadfast in the faith? It means to be strong in the Word of God. It means to allow the Word of God to abide in you. So when you're tempted, like Jesus was in Matthew chapter 4, you know the Word of God. You can hold up the sword of the Spirit and defend yourself and be able to say like Jesus, it is written. Too many times we may find ourselves giving in to temptation because the Word of God is not abiding in us. And if the Word of God is not abiding in us, Satan is going to have his way with you. Ephesians 4 verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil. Don't allow the devil an opportunity to work in your life. You resist him. You stand against him. And God has given us the resources, what we need to be able to defend ourselves against the foe, against our enemy. But we have a part in this. In fact, if you would, go to 1 John chapter 5. Remember what I said about John's writing. John will present a truth. He'll present a thought. He'll deal with it. And you will find him later on dealing with the same subject, but he'll be adding to it. Okay? And this is a perfect example of what we're talking about tonight. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse number 18. We know that whosoever is born of God... Here's this language that we've noticed already, sinneth not. Again, in the original, those who have been born of God, those who are Christians, they don't keep on living a lifestyle of sin. That described us before we obey the gospel. Again, there's a difference between committing sin and living in sin. And so again, once again, John, for probably the fourth time, reminds us that we're not living in sin. Those who are born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God, now listen to this, keepeth himself. That word keep in the original means to protect, to guard. He that is begotten of God keepeth or protecteth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. The wicked one can't touch you. He cannot harm you if you're protecting yourself. I like verse number 18. Because when it comes to resisting the devil, when it comes to overcoming temptation, overcoming the wicked one, God has a part in this, and we have a part. And God has done His part. He sent His Son. He has given us our spiritual weaponry that's found in the Word of God. But you see, verse number 18, we have a part in this. Again, he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. If I'm going to protect myself, when I go back to 1 John chapter 2, verse number 13 and 14, I need to be strong and I need the Word of God abiding in me. Jesus said in John 8, verse number 31, if you continue in my Word, then are you my disciples. I hope you see how important the Word is. I can preach the Word to you tonight. We can read the Word together tonight. But you have that personal responsibility. I have that personal responsibility for my spiritual development. I'm simply here to encourage you to grow in your knowledge of God's Word. Remember what we learned long ago from the Old Testament. When God said in Hosea 4, verse number 6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. In Jeremiah 4, verse 22, God said this about His people, oh, my people are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. Do you see why the New Testament says in 2 Peter 3, verse number 18, that we are to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And yes, that intellectual knowledge of the Scriptures that we gain through studying God's Word will turn into an intimate knowledge that brings us closer and closer to God. And listen, if we are drawing closer and closer to God, we can resist the devil. We can overcome him. And I love the language. When we resist him by submitting ourselves to God, he'll flee from us. You know, one of the things the devil hates is when the people of God are feasting and immersing themselves in the Word of God day and night. But that's what we should be doing because God's Word builds us up. Remember what Paul says, and hopefully you're seeing, it doesn't matter how you look at it, we always turn to the same solution. We always turn back to the Word of God. Listen to what I'm saying. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, the outward man is perishing. You're getting older and there's nothing you can do about it. That's how that translates in the Greek language. The outward man is perishing. But what does Paul say about the inward man? Oh, that's the spiritual person. The inward man is renewed how often? Day by day. Only, friends, when you are feasting upon the Word of God. Clay, how do you know that? Because of what Paul teaches in Colossians 3, verse 10. He uses the same word that he used in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, speaking about the inward man being renewed. In Colossians 3, verse 10, guess what? Paul says we're renewed, notice how, through knowledge. Through knowledge, a knowledge of the Word of God. It renews us spiritually speaking. It builds us up spiritually speaking so that we can walk by faith and not by sight. But very quickly, go back if you would to 1 John chapter 2. As you begin reading with me in 1 John chapter 2, I want you to consider what John says once again in verse number 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. John says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then he describes the elements, if you please, of worldliness in verse number 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Look at those things very carefully. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You see, that's what the devil uses against you and against me to make war with us. By the way, when you study the book of Revelation, you study carefully Revelation 12 and Revelation 13, you will find that terminology. The devil is making war with us. He is our enemy. The Apostle Paul talks about his fiery darts that he is shooting at us. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Look at Genesis chapter 3. When you consider sin's entrance into the world, we see that Eve heard a lie, she believed a lie, she obeyed a lie. We see that she was deceived. How did the devil tempt her? What did he use? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, pride of life. You go through Genesis chapter 3, you'll see every one of those elements of worldliness. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. You look at Jesus' temptation in Matthew chapter 4. As the devil tempted him, what did the devil use to tempt Jesus? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the elements of worldliness. What will he use to tempt us? Worldliness. Why? Because worldliness obstructs spiritual transformation. If we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. Listen to what the Apostle John says about worldliness. It will pass away. You want a verse to write down for that? Write down Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 25. The pleasure of sin is only for a short, short time. Those things will pass away. But he who does the will of the Father will abide forever. Again, fellowship with God. Test of fellowship. We can know that we have fellowship with God. As we study the book of 1 John, we see those tests of fellowship. If we are growing spiritually speaking, if we are developing spiritually speaking, it reminds us about the fellowship that we have with our God that makes the Christian life so full of joy. I hope you will grow. I hope you will be a spiritual giant in the kingdom of God. And every one of us in here has that potential to be that spiritual giant. Look at the Apostle Peter. Oh, you see Peter's spiritual growth. Why Christ was here on this earth, you see Peter's growth. Oh, he was a diamond in the rough, right? But as he grew, he became a solid rock in the faith. That came through hard work. That came through spiritual development. And that's what God is calling upon all of us to do. To be His strong children. Having the Word of God abiding in you. I do thank you for your kind attention tonight. We certainly at this time want to offer the Lord's invitation. The Lord's invitation, as you know, is always